Thank you, Pastor, and good night. Good evening to you, friends. It's wonderful to share in the inspiration of this gospel service tonight. We are part of a glorious army. We are engaged in a conflict. We are against formidable foes. But thank God, we have a leader, a captain, who is leading us forward. We can be assured the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the Spirit to the tearing down of the strongholds. And tonight, though we are in the midst of conflict, we are marching forward under the sovereign leadership of our great captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have reason to have an optimistic spirit. We are in this world, but you remember Jesus in that high priestly prayer as recorded in John chapter 17. In that prayer, he said, "Father, I do not pray that you will take them out of the world. But rather," he said, "I pray that you will keep them in the world." So we have a unique role in the world in which we live. We are not of this world. We are out of this world, but we are in the midst of this world, a crooked and perverse generation, Paul calls it. But he said, in the midst of that, you shine as lights. Hallelujah. And I'm glad tonight that this world and this world's order cannot assimilate us. We are to the world indigestible. You know that world will try to digest you. They will try to accommodate you. But I'm glad tonight that we, as the scriptures tell us, we are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that we act funny. So some people think we act funny. But that's not what the scripture means. We are peculiar in that we are of particular value to the Lord. Particular in the sense of value as servants of the Lord. And tonight we can fulfill our role. Not in the strength of our own power or our own might. God has not called us because of our sufficiency. God has called us because of our dependency. And let us never forget the secret of our strength is dependency. We are dependently strong. But we are independently weak. We find the scriptures tell us that without him we can do nothing. Those are the words of Jesus. Now that doesn't inflate anybody's ego. For us to be reminded that we are capable of doing nothing. You know what nothing is? It is a cipher with a zero rubbed out. That's how much we can do in our own strength. But the Apostle Paul had it in perspective. He had it in context. He said, we can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengtheneth us. Oh, tonight, let us rejoice in our identification with Jesus Christ. praise his holy name. It's exciting to see what God is doing in our world today. And I have a message of hope for you. I want to lay a little foundation for what I would like to share with you by reading two very familiar passages of Scripture from the New Testament. The first of these is found in the Gospel of Mark. And if you will turn with me to Mark chapter 5, I will begin to read with verse 25. Mark, beginning to read with verse 25, we read, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." My second portion of Scripture is found in the Gospel of Luke, again from chapter 15. And these are familiar words, to be sure, beginning with verse 11. It says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all..." Isn't that interesting? These two words reappear. Not only did the woman with the issue of blood, it is said of her that she spent all, but of the prodigal son, it says, "When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." What humiliation for a Hebrew to be sent into the swine pit to feed swine. It says that when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And that's the kind of an unfriendly world we live in. Those we count on for the most disappoint us the greatest. And it says of him that when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he went beyond the expression of good intentions. For not only did he say, I will arise, but in verse 20 it says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to see in both of these very striking examples that man is so frequently faced with an extremity of situations with which he is utterly unable to cope. I would suggest to you tonight that my message, though simple, yet it is so pungently true. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. When we come to the end of our own limited resources and we are faced with the bankruptcy of life lived according to that which we are capable of producing, we are faced with the fact that we, like the woman with the issue of blood, find ourselves spending all. Like the prodigal son who spent his money in riotous living, and when he had spent all, he found the fruitlessness of his human pursuit to bring happiness and joy and fulfillment. The history of man has been one of wandering aimlessly away from God. The scriptures tell us that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. We have so many people that are trying to go through life head first. But friend, we are not capable of choosing the way that we ought to go. Our tendency is to aimlessly wander away from God. And to this end, I want you to turn with me to Psalms 107. And I want you to leave your Bibles open to Psalms 107. This psalm is the psalm of God's loving kindness. This psalm gives to us a beautiful orchestrated song. It has in this particular beautiful psalm four verses of the song speaking to us of weariness, speaking to us of darkness, speaking to us of sickness, speaking to us of danger. But in this psalm, we find that there is a common way out. of man's dilemma. All of man's selfish pursuits has left him empty. And I might say that much of the disillusionment that we see about us in the world in which we live is a direct result of man's discovery that those values which he fancied would be adequate to satisfy the cry of his heart fall woefully short of the mark. All of the offers of the value systems of this world has left us totally unfulfilled. You can call to mind a number of the pursuits that have left people empty. There have been those who have pursued in their life the avenue of pleasure. And as they have delved more deeply into the pleasures of this world, they have discovered that what the world has called pleasure really does not satisfy. They discover that it is an empty substitute that can only be found when we are brought in right relationship to God. There are not only those who have chosen the pursuit of pleasure, but there are others that have chosen the value system of materialism. And they have fancied that if they could only amass a certain level of the world's resources, through this they could find happiness. I'm reminded that Mr. Rockefeller, who at the time he was asked this question, how much money does it take to make a man happy? His immediate reply was, just a little bit more. And that is what you call life's delusive dream. There are people who fancy that you can find the substance of what life is all about by the things you possess. But if we would only take time to listen to the teachings of Jesus, he would warn us against such a pursuit, because Jesus plainly taught that life is not found in the abundance of things which a man possesseth. You cannot build a real, meaningful life out of things. And how many people have come to a sense of cynicism, disillusionment, when they discover that the things that they had hoped would bring them the source of the fulfillment for which they were craving, all of a sudden left them empty and life was without meaning. Others pursue the course of intellectualism. And of course, there is nothing wrong with intellectual pursuit. But friend, God has so made us that we find the meaning of life not head first, but it must be found heart first. It's with the heart that man believes, and it's with the mouth that confession is made. And we tonight must learn that it is not how much we know after this world's knowledge that is going to fulfill us, but it is the essence of truth, and truth is epitomized and personalized in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these are the avenues that open to us the way to find true meaning in our life. Many have hoped that some recognition that might be accorded to us in this world, or some distinction that we might have earned in one way or another, would in and of itself bring us the sense of fulfillment that our heart craves. But friend, God's pattern for joy and peace and happiness are not found with the programs that we can espouse for self-enhancement. It is like we would try to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. Self-improvement is well and good, but friend, it is going to take more than self-improvement. It's going to take the transforming grace and power of the Lord, who alone is able to take our confused life and set it on a course that will lead us not to fun as the world knows it, but to those pleasures at the right hand of God. Remember, the scripture says, at my right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The things that we have, that we receive from God in His mercy and through His great plan of deliverance for each of us. And I might say that the scripture makes very clear that there are none of us in ourselves righteous. The scripture clearly says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none of us righteous according to the works that we perform. Our righteousness is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many people that have come to the end of their resources. And look to me, if you will, at Psalms 107. It begins with that beautiful verse, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. This, my friend, is the grace of God at work. God's grace is all-inclusive. All are included in God's love. All of us are included in His grace, whether we are from the east or the west or the north or the south. It is the loving kindness of God that's reaching out where we are, amid our human dilemma, amid our disillusionment, amid our cynicism, amid our discovery of our own human inability. The grace of God waits there to be espoused by those who will open their hearts unto him. Verse 4 tells us of a category of people. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Is that not a concise definition of man who, according to his own pursuits, has found the emptiness of what life can pursue? They are in a solitary place. They're in a place of wilderness. They have no city to dwell in. They are hungry. Oh, they've tried everything to satisfy that hunger, but it has left them bereft of the satisfaction for which they were reaching. Thirsty. Oh, friend, the thirst that God puts within the human heart cannot be slaked by any of the fountains of this world. There is nothing that will satisfy. Remember what Jesus said, if you will drink of the water that I give to you, he said to the woman of Samaria, he said, you will never thirst again. When you drink of the wells of this world, you will be thirsty and thirsty and thirsty until you finally reach the realization that this is a dead end street and there's no way of hope. What do people like that do? Look at verse 6. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And what happened? He delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Now notice the simple steps from disillusionment, from complete disenchantment with the failures of what this world can give us. It leads us to the place of our own extremity, and in our own extremity, it brings us to the place where we cry out unto God. Let me tell you, my friend, the cry of the needy is a guarantee not only that God will hear, but that the door that opens up the way to a release from the bondages and restrictions with which we have been encumbered have been taken from us. And God satisfies us with the good things that only he can give us. And thank God, he said that he would bring us forth into the right way, that we might find a city of habitation. And then what happens? There comes from the heart of those who have been liberated and set free a beautiful chorus. And this chorus is repeated several times, and I want you to get used to singing it. I want you to say it with me. You got your Bible open there to 107 Psalm. Let's read it, verse 8. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Isn't that a picture of the availability of a heavenly Father whose chief desire is for us to come to the end of our own resources. And as we acknowledge that we have not the answer, we have not the solution, we cry unto Him. And as we cry unto Him, His ear is attentive to our call, and it's His divine intervention. And then we can sing, oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. We find again in verse 10 another category of people, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Isn't that a description of many who are under the slavery of this world? It says, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought them down, their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. But oh, that's not the end of the story. Out of the depths of their need, again we read in verse 13, it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Oh, I could go on. There are two other verses to this song. They all depict the bankruptcy of a human without hope, without any way to find help. But in the midst of their dilemma, in the midst of their extremity, cry unto the Lord. And friend, let me tell you tonight, we have a God that has an open ear as well as an open door. God's open ear leads us to God's open door. That door is a door of release. It is a door of deliverance. It is a door of liberation. For when God intervenes, He takes the tangles of life and He makes them anew. He does not just make us over. Thank God, He transforms us by His grace. He does not whitewash us, but He washes us white. He doesn't just do an external job of changing what the appearance is, but He reaches deep down within our heart. And as our hearts cry out, God hears us as we cry. And when God hears us, He reaches way down at the level of where we are. He does not come condescendingly. He comes with love and compassion. He does not come with condemnation, but He comes with love that leads us to a place of restoration and forgiveness. And I am here to tell you tonight, whatever your situation is in life, you may well feel that you have come to the end of your own resources. You may have tried everything that you need, everything that you know to do, to find the solution to your problem. But let me tell you tonight, you do not have the strength nor the ability to do for yourself what needs to be done. But you can come with your heart open to Him and confession by crying to the Lord, and his ear will hear, and his hand will reach out, and he will lift you out of the quagmire of your own human despair, and he will set you on a spiritual plane of realization where whatever your need may be, you can find an answer when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, tonight, my cry to your heart is that the pathway that leads us to God's intervention is to examine our course, to see the vanity of our own pursuit for happiness and joy that leads us oftentimes frustrated and in distress. And out of that frustration and distress, our recognition of our need, that only leads us to a place of utter dependence. Thank God, there is a door open, a door of hope tonight. You may have found that in your life, things rather than improving would seem to constantly become increasingly complicated. But oh, there is no situation that is so complicated that God cannot find a solution for your life. Think of that poor woman. For 12 long years, she suffered an infirmity in her body. She did not find any improvement. With all of her expenditure of her finances and effort, it says she was nothing bettered. But she heard that there was one passing by whose name was Jesus. And when she heard that Jesus was coming, she said, "Oh, if I could only get to where he is, and I could only reach forth my hand and touch his clothing," she said, "I will be made whole." And you know the story. She spent all. But out of her frustration, out of her need, she reached forth and touched Jesus. And you remember, Jesus said, "Someone has touched me." The disciples thought it was very odd because a crowd was thronging all around Jesus. They said, "Master, there are many people here that have touched you." But Jesus said, "You don't understand. There is someone that's touched me that's had faith." And the woman was the one in her desperate circumstances that reached forth her hand and touched Jesus. I want you to know tonight, you may have been fighting a physical battle. There's one that cares, there's one that loves. And he wants to impart unto you the thing that you need. The prodigal son, he went to the very limit. He took his portion of his father's goods. He squandered it. He spent it not for noble purposes. He spent it on riotous living. And in the process, he had a lot of friends. But when his resources waned, his friends left him. And that's the way life is. When you're up, there's a lot of people that'll be there. But when you find yourself in hard straits, it's a pretty lonely place. And this poor young man found himself engaged in an occupation that to him was very distasteful, feeding swine in a far country. But as he sat there, he began to reflect upon the love of a father. And he began to think about his state as compared even with the hired servants of his father's house. And he said, I'm a fool to sit here. He said, though I have come to the point where I have spent all and I am in a desperate situation, he said, I am going to arise and I am going back to my father. And he not only expressed his intention, a lot of people get this close. They say, I'm going to do something about it. But friend, this young man not only expressed his intention, but he put legs to his intention. He demonstrated the sincerity of what he said he would do. And it says he arose and went back. I want you to know we have a Heavenly Father tonight that awaits the opportunity to be gracious. He awaits the opportunity to reach down in his love the need that we have in our life. And I do not know what your situation may be. I do know enough about life, however, to know that the experiences of life have left many people bereft of any sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Maybe, friends, you've been looking in the wrong direction to find the satisfaction that only God can give you. God tonight wants you to know that your extremity is His opportunity to meet the need in your life. Will you bow your head with me in prayer? While our heads are bowed, the instruments are playing, and we pause for a moment of reflection. I wonder tonight if there are those in this service you feel the frustration of an unfulfilled life. You feel the emptiness that the pursuit of your life has left with you. And tonight God is speaking to you. Remember, the first step toward finding solution is to recognize your need. Upon recognizing your need, you need to take the next step and put yourself in a position to call upon the name of Him who loved you and gave Himself for you, that through His redemption you might not perish, but by life transforming faith in Him, you could have life everlasting. Are you here tonight and in a place of personal need, and you will lift a hand and say, I would like for you to pray for me tonight? Thank you, dear sister. I feel there are several here to whom God is speaking this evening hour. There is a need in your life that only God can fill. And you will lift a hand and say by an upraised hand, please pray for me. I want to know that I am in the position to receive from the hand of God His merciful answer that will meet the need of my life. Someone else raise a hand and say, yes, thank you very much. Someone else, God is moving by His Spirit. God sees every one of us individually. And friend, believe me, God loves you personally. He knows all about your need and your circumstances. Would you raise a hand and say, yes, I have a need in my life. I want you to pray for me. God bless you. Thank you very much. Someone else. Yes, He wants to make something beautiful of your life.
And He'll make something beautiful, something good.
I feel God is moving in your heart. I feel impressed to ask you who have raised your hands and expressed a need. Will you slip up out of your seat and come and stand with us right down here at the front of the church? We would like very much to pray personally with you. God is here to answer prayer. This is not just an idle move. It's a very meaningful time of presenting ourselves for the blessing and the help that God wants so earnestly to give to us. Would you just slip to your feet and come and stand with us? Thank you very much.
He understood.